Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another edition of Crit or Die. Bears Love Gaming. Hello, as always, this is Kenny, the Cuban polar bear, also known as, Cuban polar bear. And I have right next to me, as always, the ever lovely, the ever luxurious.
No, I'm definitely the caramel
You're
bear,
definitely
baby.
Definitely the caramel
I'm
bear.
I'm all nice and delicious and brown.
Oh, yes.
I just melt right on your tongue.
And today, right now we're going to get into, this is going to be game heavy. We're going to talk about two different styles of gaming. One is tabletop gaming, and the other is actually deck building, or in this case, dungeon building gaming.
Yeah.
Two different styles, which I like. One short form, one long form. Let's get right into it. The first one that we played, actually, we got to thank the third bear that we had in the previous episode, Mr. Will Cabrera. He actually brought us into a game called Kill Team, which is part of Warhammer, the Warhammer series.
Okay, now, first of all, you're going to hear Warhammer, and you're going to think of just big setups. You're going to think of a lot of miniatures being put up. You're going to think of measuring tape. You're going to think
of
complication.
You're going to think of
a lot of pain and a lot of time. Time.
But really, what Kill Team is, and the style of this is that usually in Warhammer, especially 40K Warhammer, you have huge armies going against huge armies in a large landscape. And what Kill Team does is actually bring it down to a small one army team, like an elite close quarters force.
Think of it as just a more simplified strategy game, almost sort of like Final Fantasy Tactics. Have very like every team has their own like little specifics that they go out. The different. Well, my brain's a little scrambled. We've had a little loopy here. But the thing is that you pick your team, you put it up in this situation, and everything is way, way more simplified over. I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah, because the way
it was not complicated.
Yeah, the way it happened was that we went to go meet our friend Will, because he's opening up a new shop. It's called Silver Dragon Tavern.
Yeah.
The Silver Dragon Tavern. Basically, it is a mixture of a gaming shop and bar, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you wanted to make two things go well together. You put alcohol and you put fucking board games, baby.
Oh, of course. No, and we went to go check out the space. The space is it's huge. It's very spacious. It's really nice. He was able to introduce us to the game, to Warhammer Kill Team. And we played as Space Marines. And the thing is that I'm not too versed in miniature gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I don't know if you had any kind
of
expertise.
I have watched. So years ago, there used to be a spot down here in South Miami called Lizards on Ice, which is where I used to get a lot of my Magic cards, and they also had a ton of tables set up for people to do Warhammer. And I remember watching a couple times while an old friend of mine in high school was playing the DBZ card game, definitely chuckle. That was
horrible.
That was a pretty fucking bad game. But so while he was playing his tournaments and I had no fucking interest, I would watch people take these miniatures and set up these like complicated games with complicated stats, and basically like every miniature had its own like rule set that had to go along and somehow had to be adjusted to everything that was going on, and it was really, really interesting, but like I said earlier, just too complicated for me to be really fucking interested in it, because it's sort of like I get it why you would dig it, but bro, I don't got the fucking time for this, and the games would take so long.
And I can understand, especially because the thing is that the way it's set up is that there are a certain amount of points that go towards each figure. You have to, your whole army has to be a certain point value. So let's just say off of a 100-point army, you would have to have all of them equal to 100 points value for an army, which could be vast. Be humongous.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that sounds. I didn't know about the point values, just because I missed out on that part of the conversation. That sounds very similar to how I forgot the company that does it, but there's like an X-Wing game that's very similar.
X-Wing Commander, yeah.
X-Wing Commander, and that you have to pick your ships based off of a point system. Like, you can have a... Somebody was telling me that, like, the most effective one for tournaments in the first part of the game being released was just having a bunch of TIE fighters. You just fucking mob.
Yeah, several, yeah, low-level
stuff, yeah.
Low-level minis just running crazy, which... You know, and again, this falls into it. Depending on what race you play in Warhammer, they all have different abilities to use different weapons. And the thing is that they all, and as Pedro said, they all have different rule sets that they go by. The thing about it is that because it's such a small group, a small team that goes against one another, if you play with them, if you play long enough, which it didn't take us very long, it literally took us maybe 15 to 20 minutes to understand what we were doing.
Okay, and the only reason it took that long was just literally like, hey... You know, we're unfamiliar with what we're doing and we needed to look stuff up. Like, once you know what you're doing, it's very, very tailored for you to pick a play style and stick with it.
Right. And once you pick the type of team or type of game, type of strategy you want to play, you know exactly what you're doing. It comes to a point that it is, I don't want to say repetitive, it lends itself for you to remember what you can do in each given round.
If anything, you just roll up a chart, literally just have the chart be like, okay, well, if this troop is this strong versus something that has this much defense, this is what you have to do. And I think the thing that really simplified it for me was just no HP. It's literally roll, I succeeded on a hit. Did the hit crit?
Yes.
Yes. Did you defend against it? No, the piece is removed. That simple. Three rolls, and that determines combat.
At least in the gameplay we were, it's very quick. Most actual figures in the game only are able to sustain one hit if it does go through. Very few that we've seen have more than one.
It's probably like boss units or something
You know, and so it was just fun. It was just great. Like, pretty much you, instead of using squares or instead of using a grid like D&D uses, it actually uses inches as far as space-wise.
Yeah, that was the one thing that really, at first, like, made me worried about it, was seeing that, like, it was like, oh, man, you got to worry about measuring actual distance. That's a little... But it ended up not being that... It wasn't that painless. It was pretty painless overall.
No, it was pretty... And at the end of the day, it was pretty fun. All I can say is that it's one of those games that looks very addicting, but it also looks like it would take a lot of money from me. Same way as Magic does.
I can only pick one constant addiction, and Magic is that addiction. I can't afford it. Don't make... And you know what? Here's the other thing. If Star Wars vehicles and ships, like me being a big mecha fan, I'm not going to sink my money into that, I'll be damned if fucking Warhammer is the one that does it.
But I mean, and it's crazy because when we look at the pricing-wise, as far as a starter set for Kill Team, it brings you the rule book. It brings you enough figures to make a two army team, and so two teams can go against each other. It comes out to around $50 to $60, which seems like a lot,
but
with everything that it comes with, it's awesome. The other thing I like about it is the fact that it uses a landscaping, like you create the world that you play on. And if you create mountains, you play on top of a fucking mountain.
And
you treat it as difficult terrain. Same thing for buildings that you put in there that they can walk through. It is set like, and that's what the beauty of it is. It could always change depending on where you play. Because in one store will be one way, or somebody's house will be one way. Like, it all depends on how you build it.
It has a flexibility, an innate flexibility to it, which I think is pretty pretty interesting. And, I mean, we were saying about the price. I mean, $50 to $60 is what you would pay for a good high-end board game. So I figure, you know, you almost treat it the same way.
Yeah, and also, if you are also a fan of building, it does let you build the actual character, the actual figures. Not only that, it also comes to you unpainted. So it allows you to actually paint your characters, which to me, I would kill it because my hands are so small. my hands are so big, sorry.
And the figures are so small.
And the sticks are so small, as far as the paintbrush is so small, I can't. There's no way for me to do it.
Just dunk it. Yeah. Dunk it right in the paint.
I'll spray paint it all black. That's it. And that's just my army.
This is my goth army.
But yeah, would I play it again? I would love to play it again now that I know more or less how to play.
I would like to play with somebody else's. I wouldn't mind splitting it with you, but I definitely, for my own sake, I probably wouldn't want to.
No, I mean, if anybody's out there that wants to sponsor us, if anybody buys us a Warhammer 40K or Kill Team, I would I would go so far as to thank you on our podcast and actually live stream it to show you how much we enjoy this.
I would if you desire it, I would show nipple. Like that's I'm very, very willing to show nipple for
bare
that.
Nips. Hey, whoever gets this for us gets bare nips.
Bare nips are rare, but whoever has it gets a ton of it. So just think about that.
I don't know what's more rare, bare nips or brain.
Well,
that's a different game.
Yeah, that's a different game that I like to play.
But all in all, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I'm very new when it comes to the miniature board game style. So, I would love to venture into that more. So, if you guys have any kind of if any other games in particular, any other miniature tabletop that you would think that we should play, or you think that would be is fun, by all means, let us know, and we'll go ahead and try it out.
Yeah, definitely down for that.
The other game that we played also is a short form game. It's a dungeon building card game. You would already figure out what it is.
Short form, I could see how it could take a long time.
I could see how when we first played, it took a while because we were trying to understand the rules.
I think, yeah, that was the other thing. The rules are definitely...
And to be quite honest, I think I may have overcomplicated certain things. The game we're talking about is Boss Monster. Boss Monster is it takes the rare form of you are the boss monster. And what you do is you're building your own dungeon that attracts heroes to come in so you can kill them. In fact, I will go ahead and just use the back of the box and tell you it is inspired by classic video games. Boss Monster challenges you to become a villain, build a dungeon, lure in adventurers, and destroy them.
This is created by, I believe it says Brotherwise Games.
Yes, the company that created this is Brotherwise Games, which, first off, what I love is the packaging, because it looks like a fucking Nintendo cartridge game.
Yeah, it has a lot of the art. I mean, this is very pixel-based. It's very clear where they're taking a lot of their inspiration from, just the art for, like we were saying earlier, like these look like old creatures from, like, old Final Fantasy, Mega Man, fantasy games.
Yeah, all games lend itself to it. Like, it looks, you could tell the styles are taken from Castlevania, are taken...
There's a lot of Castlevania.
Lot of Castlevania. And Final Fantasy for sure. And pretty much what you're doing is you start off as a boss and you build your dungeon. And as you build your dungeon, the stronger your dungeon gets, the harder it is for heroes to get through it. Because if they get through it, they get to hit you, and we don't want that. So you try to build your dungeon in a way where you kill off heroes before they even get to you.
Yeah, and every turn you start off, you have a pile of cards called room cards, and you build one room up to five rooms, and then basically you just start trying to attract heroes to go in your dungeon for you to merc them. And if you can kill, kill 10 heroes, you win the game. Five times you lose the game.
Like every time if you get hit by a hero five times, you lose. So the way that you win the game is if your opponent gets hit five times by a hero, they lose. If you get 10 souls, which is every time you kill a hero, you win. So the whole point of the game is to build it, from what I can tell, is build a dungeon as fast as you can and then try to kill as many as you can. The fun part about it is that it gives you this spell aspect, and these spells determine, you can use the spells to either benefit you or mess with your opponent, which is like very Munchkin-like, is the best way I can describe it. And it fucks around with people a lot. And this mechanic is made to... And from what it looks like is that you can play it safe, but the game will fuck with you very hard because since the heroes come out at random, you might get a low-level hero coming into your dungeon, or you might get the biggest fucking thing and you can't beat it.
Yeah. Oh, there was one turn where I had three heroes coming at me, but just because of the setup, I was able to, kill two, and Kenny was able to use a combat trick to, make one hero.
Kick him in the face, yes.
Yeah. So and I think that what's really interesting is that there's also the mechanic of the different types of heroes. I mean, you have one pile that's standard normal heroes, and then once that pile runs out, then you get your epic heroes, which have a lot more health, but their souls are worth more, and they do twice as much damage to you. So a lot of it is about building up your castles as quickly as possible to try to get all those low-level ones in, and then once you start flipping over to your epic heroes, hoping that you have designed your dungeon well enough to survive. And the difference was between, like, oh, this hero has 4 health, this one has 5 health, ooh, this one has 8 health. The first one we flipped, 13 health.
Which was like, sucked.
Ooh, that was rough, because we definitely did not have either one of our
dungeons barely designed have anything, for that. And that's the thing is that the thing about the game is the game can fuck with you really hard. you have to brace yourself. Just grit your teeth and bear it, because the game is set up in a way where it's trying to kill you, and if your luck runs out, your luck runs out very quickly in this game.
I have a feeling you're going to have more people losing the game than winning the game.
There's only going to be one winner.
I'm saying there's going to be more times when somebody gets hit five times versus somebody
winning
10.
And I think that's the whole point of it. I think that it's easier to have somebody else lose than for you to win.
So it's more about who loses first versus who wins first.
Which is, if you think about it, well, you're a boss monster. Eventually, the hero's supposed to kill you. You're just hoping that you're not the first one to die.
Like, let me be end game as opposed to early game.
Now, I actually want to play it more. We played it a little bit. We almost finished the game, but I would like to play it more and actually have more people, because it looks like the more people you play and the way it's set up is the more people that play, the crazier the game gets.
I can definitely tell it gets way more. It's very much like Munchkin, where the more people you have in, the more opportunities you have for just terrible fuckery.
Oh, of course. To be honest, I can't wait to actually play it again with a group of people. In terms of both of them, they're both, in terms of both games that we're talking about here, they're two different styles completely. If you're into like the actual just strategy wise, both of them have strategy. However, I would say Warhammer 4K or Warhammer Kill Team.
Kill Team is very much a game that is, I don't think that I wouldn't want there to be too many people, because the game flows well enough, but it did definitely take time, and if you have multiple turns, I can definitely see, I would prefer that one to be one-on-one, whereas Boss Monster definitely fits better for multiples.
Yeah, so and the thing is that I know that there's miniature games, and I've seen them where they have several people playing at one time, but Kill Team can be one of those where it could be just a quick, like, once you know your figures, once you know what your characters can do, and so does your opponent, this game goes by real fast.
Yeah.
It can go by real fast.
If you print out this is so weird to say as a prerequisite, but if you print out a chart and know, like, basically your defenses and your attack and your defense, then it becomes simpler once you know how your team plays.
Right. And overall, I would love to try both of them out for different reasons. To be honest, I would love to see more people in a game of Kill Team to see how crazy it could be, because the implications of it, where you're trying to attack one person while another person's coming from behind you trying to kill you off, that's always fun. I like that. And same thing with Boss Monster, is the more people that are in it, the more people can fuck with one another. You can all gang up on one person till they die, and then you go on to the next person.
Now that I'm thinking about it the way you word that, I'm imagining having three or four four corners kind of situation, and how much of a clusterfuck that would be.
It would remind me so much of StarCraft.
Well, what's interesting is the whole mechanic of having to roll. Like, you have to succeed in three different rolls to be able to kill one single unit. So when we were playing, because it was Kenny and myself versus Will, obviously, because he's, knows what he's doing and he's trying to teach us. Both of us were doing pretty well with our saves, but Will was just having a horrible time. So during one turn, we were able to wipe out just like every
almost
one
half
of our,
his, yeah, we're yeah. almost able to, we were able to wipe out almost half his army.
So there's even then there's still just enough element of luck behind it where, even if somebody gets the drop on you, like, you could still come back from it.
Well, and you know what, watching that and looking at those games, the thing about it is, again, I think about it and I'm like, oh my god, I can't do this to myself, because I can already think about what kind of team I want and how I would need to build it and how much money it would take to actually do that. And then that's when I stop myself, because that's another thing, is that later on down this week, when Magic gets released, when the new set for Magic, which is Kaladesh, gets released, I'm spending money on that. I can't spend money on anything else.
Yeah, again, one addiction at a time.
Which is awesome, because now that I thought about it, I can't wait. Once this episode gets released, Kaladesh will already be out.
Yeah.
Everybody's already seen the spoiler list. But honestly, I'm just happy that the artifact set is back.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are happy, but I'm happy.
The difference is, this time around, the artifacts, there's color involved in artifacts, so it's way more balanced out than it was the last time artifacts were a bigger deal. So I think there's not going to be the same level of problem that there was before.
That's true, and also this will be the first. I believe this is the first new set that's coming in that does not have Magic Origins as a core set. So this will be actually the first part of the block, or the second part of
Third block.
Oh, this is the third block. So this is the first complete block that we have without a Magic Origins set, meaning that we don't have a core set anymore, which lends to people that play Standard to be more to stick more with the actual mechanics that come in the set. Not all these mechanics are going to be, as Pedro pointed out, evergreen. Like, these will constantly change out, and the new ones, the new mechanics is we have one that's called Crew.
Yes. With vehicles. That's the new thing. Imagine a vehicle is sort of like an artifact that could turn into an artifact creature when you tap that many creatures worth of power into it. So if it's Crew 3, you need to tap as many creatures as possible to get 3 power. And then, you know, now that artifact will turn into an artifact creature and you can attack with it like a normal.
Right. Which is pretty, like, that's one mechanic which is pretty cool. And this set is also introducing the energy counters, which is another set of counters that is used for this particular set that we've seen so far. And it's pretty much just set that you collect counters in general. You collect these counters in general, and you can spend them for certain abilities on certain cards.
Yeah, it's a usable resource. There are some cards that give you... most cards that involve using energy will actually give you enough energy to activate it at when you first get it. But then if you have more energy left over from previous uses or from other creatures or from other things, you can start stacking up. There was one in particular that gives you... I think it's a red card, gives you 3 energy when it pops into play, and you can spend however much energy you want to do that much damage to a creature.
Which is ridiculous. That's
pretty good.
I do see... I know there's cards out there that also generate energy counters per turn, which will also lend itself to do something like that Mass Effect damage that Pedro just talked about.
There was that Leviathan that you pulled.
That I pulled out, as far as that Leviathan, and every set has a Leviathan. I'm pretty much, when I pulled it off my phone and I showed Pedro, I go, of course this set's going to have a Leviathan in it. And this Leviathan is, you know, it's almost a Leviathan. First off, it flies.
I would prefer the flying over the island walk, because I'm not going to use island walk, but I'll use a fucking flyer.
And the thing about it is that it has a massive effect, where all other creatures, when you pop it for, I think it's like 8 counters, it returns all other creatures back to your hand, which leaves it by itself. Which,
hello, yeah. Oh god,
which I don't see many people playing it, but it would be fun to see somebody try to run that out.
Man, there was that card that whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, it creates 2 energy. So you put that in a red blue Zada deck, and I don't know, you might get that motherfucking popping.
Oh my god! I honestly, we already ordered our box. We're waiting for it to get to us. Hopefully, we get it in time to release a video for you guys the same day. You guys can check it out. If we do, we're with our fingers crossed. But honestly, with Magic the Gathering, it's always changing. And the one thing that I do like that they've been doing, and this is the second set that's doing it, which is bringing back premium rares, which are expedition cards that come that aren't necessarily used for Standard, but are reprints that can be used for Modern and also used for Vintage and Legacy format decks. In this one, it's all about artifacts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, fucking Lotus Petal, oh Chrome God. Mox,
Soul Ring.
Soul Ring. Oh God, Soul Ring. The Crucible of Worlds. I can roll with some Crucible of Worlds.
A fucking the fan made card. and it also has other cards that were created. Gear Hulk. There's a bunch of Gear Hulks in there as well.
You got a cycle of Gear Hulks.
And those are very rare. You get one of those out of every 4 or 5 boxes at a time. So, those are like, you can't use those in standard tournaments unless you get it off of a booster draft.
Well, if you get the gear, you can use the Gear Hulks in Standard because they're popping in now.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah, those Gear Hulks were made for Kaladesh. So you want to just bling that motherfucker out.
Well, I mean, Magic is always trying to find a way to keep it fresh, to keep it new, and doing stuff like that always helps. And
some cards have new art, and you know what? I ain't going to say no to new art.
And you know what? And for casual gamers, fuck it. I mean, if you're not going to play a tournament, you just like to casually play Magic, it's always fun, too. It's always a new style of gaming. I hope that the only thing is that Magic doesn't get stale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first off, I'm a huge Simpsons fan, and we're on I believe season 25, and a good portion of this series was very stale up until recently. I think after season 10, it kind of killed me, and I just hung in there. And I hope that Magic had those rough spots before.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope that it just keeps going with what it's doing now and keeps being innovative.
As long as the gimmicks are interesting, I think they'll be. And I think with Kaladesh and hopefully with Aether Revolt, I think Aether Revolt's sort of keeping along with the same stuff that Kaladesh will. So I'm hoping that it seems like it's doing well so far.
No, and the whole thing is that usually when they do a set like this where it always centers around one card type, which in this case is artifacts, then I assume very heavily that the next set is going to involve destroying all said cards in this type.
Well, since Magic has become so story-based, you can kind of get an idea for what's going to happen in the next set. Like, all the stuff that happened in Innistrad, you basically found out pretty early on that there was one of the Eldrazi up in the moon, so you knew that there was going to be some crazy-ass shit fucking happening. In this set, like you said, you got a lot of artifacts. Motherfuckers are popping in. There's an old character I saw Magic revealed, or rather, Wizards of the Coast reveal, I think it was like 5 or 6 cards that tell the story of what's going on.
Yeah.
And the last card had the Leonin Planeswalker coming in.
Oh my god.
Ajani.
Yes.
Ajani Kemp came in and saved...
Which is crazy, because, and that's the other thing, is that the Planeswalkers in this, they're bringing back, they have Chandra.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
a fucking beast this time around.
Jace has also been redone.
Oh, Jace is not in this set.
Oh,
so
not
far.
In this set, right.
Yeah, Jace was in the last
but
set.
But Chandra is in this set, and her picture already, the art is... I love... This is another thing that I love about Magic, is that the artwork is amazing. And I love the artwork, even from certain commons to the rares. The artwork is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be up and down and 50-50, but now, recently, in the past few years, it's been really great. It's been screensaver worthy.
Yeah. I kind of miss some of the whimsy that they used to have since they sort of focusing more on the story and having kind of like unified art styles. You know, I kind of miss it would always, like you said, it would be pretty 50-50 about, you know, getting like, oh, something looks gorgeous, and then you get it like,
yeah, it's like some certain cards I was like, oh,
I love the ridiculousness of Phil Foglio. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
I loved how, because that was super cartoony and it was fun.
No, it was, the thing is that those I didn't mind, but there were certain cards that you looked at it and it almost looked watercolorish, which was a really bad way of saying.
I like Rebecca Guai.
Like Rebecca Guai at all. Yeah, I'm so glad you recognize who the hell I was talking
about. I know exactly
what
you're talking about because I like her.
Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. You know, needless to say, Pedro and I can't wait for the new set to come out. As far as the box to arrive, so we can destroy it and I can sniff the cards.
Oh my god.
I don't know what it is about the card smell. It's amazing. But, you know, as far as this episode, we're done. I mean, this is short, quick. We just wanted to come out and talk a little bit about some of the games that we tried out and also talk about a little bit of the Magic. And always, I needed an excuse for Pedro to be at my house.
Oh, it's always nice to be back in your house and getting really close to these mics again.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
As we whisper and come to the close, we end the bombast.
Oh, yeah.
With just...
This podcast is brought to you by Whispers.
The whispering.
Thank
bears.
You so much, Pedro.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you for letting me get all up in your ears again.
Oh, yeah. This is Crit or Die.
This is Crit or Die Late Night.
I can't.
It's too ridiculous.
Too ridiculous. Crit or Die, Bears Love Gaming. Tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much.